And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Artistic Director Elaine Rinaldi speaks with Charles Greenfield about Orchestra Miami's exciting seventh season. Film critic Dan Hudak previews the 12th Miami Short Film Festival. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. Miami-Dade College has launched its 23rd season of diverse, world-class performances. Their thought-provoking presentations are designed to inspire audiences and broaden their view of the world. And those are the words of our guest today, the executive director of MDC Live Arts, Ms. Catherine Garcia. And she brings with her the director of tonight's South Florida premiere of the Manganiar, I hope I say that right, Seduction at the Miami-Dade County Auditorium, Mr. Royston Abell. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, Catherine, and welcome to the show, Royston.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ed.
Now, Catherine, 23 years of exceptional programming, that is quite a coup for Miami-Dade College. Tell me your thoughts about that production longevity.
Well, I have to say first off that, you know, it's kind of my unique honor to have joined this long-going legacy that the college has of a commitment to cultural initiatives. I started with MDC Live Arts about 2 years ago, and you know, there's so many incredible performances that this program has brought to the community. As you know, it was originally called Cultura del Lobo, mm-hmm. and artists from Chico Farrell, Shen Wei, Branford Marsalis, so many great artists have come through this program, and it's just an honor to be able to continue it. But beyond that, the college just has this incredible commitment to culture, as everyone knows through the Miami International Book Fair coming up, the Miami International Film Festival every year in March, and all the performances, visual arts at the Freedom Tower. So it's a really, really unique honor.
And all the galleries. How many galleries? Eight
well,
or so or more?
There's galleries on all of the campuses. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and there's also the flagship, which is at the Freedom Tower on the second floor, and it's free.
I dare say MDC is the backbone of our arts rejuvenation here in South Florida, really. It's just amazing, and kudos to everybody there. Royston, please describe tonight's presentation for the MDC Live Art Series, the Manganiar Seduction. What will we experience?
But I think what you'll experience is your beauty that lies within you. Hmm. And the show helps to bring that out. And you will experience depths that were, you know, lying dormant in you. And it just kind of brings out everything that's in you, you know, that feeling in you to make you experience something wonderful.
Transcendental, perhaps. It has been written, the show is equal parts rock concert, global music performance, and dazzling theatrical experience. And your troupe is what, over 50 people?
Yeah, the whole company is about 50 people with about 40 musicians, or let's say 38 musicians, three chefs, and the rest of them technicians, yes. Yeah, it's a nice bunch to travel with.
As we've mentioned before we got on the air, this is the end of your current tour, but the beginning for your premiere here in South Florida. That's wonderful. Where have you traveled?
Within the United States?
Yeah, with the group.
Within the United States, we've just done, what, Kennedy Center, D.C., you know, the Lincoln Center, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Chapel Hill in North Carolina, Gainesville, Florida, and now here in Miami, which is fantastic. And that's the end of our tour, and we're happy to end it here.
Describe the music for us, if you will. It's quite diverse, I understand.
Yeah. Even if you want to call it, you know, what kind of music would it, you know, would you classify it? The only thing I would be able to say is, we call it the Manganiar music because it is obviously sung by the Manganiars. And over the years, over many generations, they've just developed a style for this music. Mm-hmm. And it's a music without any ego. So it comes in from a very, you know, nice, pure place, which is what that, you know, connects with you like instantly. Mm-hmm.
For more information, please go to mdcliveArts.org or you can call 305-237-3010. Catherine, it's amazing that you all have the economic resources to bring in such big groups. I mean, that's magnificent.
Well,
and thank goodness once again to MDC.
Yeah, we make it work. We stretch our dollars as far as we can. We were lucky these guys were up in Gainesville. And as soon as I heard that, I've been kind of following their tour because it's been a couple of years since they first premiered at Lincoln Center in 2010. And just I've been waiting for the opportunity to get this down here. And it really worked out because of Gainesville, which was fantastic.
Yeah, you have to kind of block book.
Exactly.
Catch the great groups as they pass through the
exactly.
peninsula.
Yeah.
Now, you've got so many other great events coming up for the MDC Live Arts Series. Let's talk about January. You have a marvelous choreographer coming to town.
January, we are really excited to welcome back to Miami Nora Chipamare from New York. Originally Zimbabwe, but she now is based in New York, and she's a fantastic choreographer. Incredible thinker as well, and does some really wonderful avant-garde work. She has a piece inspired by the great Miriam Makeba.
Oh, yeah. Great South African vocalist.
Yeah, yeah, and with a score done by Omar Sosa, Cuban pianist.
Super
so
pianist.
It's going to be a fantastic performance, and we're doing it in collaboration with Miami Light Project, our friends over there.
So it will be at the Light Box at the Goldman Warehouse.
Exactly.
In Wynwood.
Exactly.
That's January 24th and 25th. Briskly, because we're running out of time, unfortunately, the National Theatre of Scotland.
National Theatre of Scotland blows my mind. I saw this performance, The Strange Undoing of Prudencia Hart, last year in Washington, D.C., and I have not forgotten it. It's about the devil, that's all I'll say, in very interesting, fun ways. And it happens in a bar. It happens in a bar.
That's not unusual for Scotland or our friends in Ireland.
Exactly.
You know.
National Theatre of Scotland likes their fun, and they really, really translate that to the audience when you go into this completely new environment and experience this overwhelmingly inventive play, The Strange Undoing of Prudencia Hart.
That's February 19th through the 23rd. Where will it take place?
It's in a bar. It's at the Garrett at Grand Central in downtown Miami.
Wow. So Saturday, March 22nd, your magnificent series continues with a performance at the Colony Theater by Sam Green and Yola Dengo. We've seen them before.
We've got some great titles this year. This one's called The Love Song of R. Buckminster Fuller.
Bucky!
Who, you know, has some interesting ties to South Florida. Pinecrest Gardens has a geodesic dome. But there's so much to learn. I mean, this is kind of, they call it a live documentary. Yola Tengo, the incredible indie rock band, kind of a legend, an institution in indie rock, did the live score, and they'll be here playing at the Colony Theater. And Sam Green narrates this story kind of like a TED Talk. About our Buckminster Fuller, who was completely ahead of his time.
The MDC Live Art Series continues in April with Trey McIntyre Project. What's that all about?
So Trey McIntyre, we're doing this in collaboration with South Dade Cultural Arts Center, which is where it takes place.
Great, great location.
Great location, great theater, great people.
I've been living there over the past 2 weekends.
Really?
For the Miami
Jazz Festival.
Nice Jazz Fest, yeah.
Yeah.
Stanley Clark and Gregory Porter, who's the jazz world's number one vocalist now.
I know. So many great performances as part of that festival. Well, Trey McIntyre Project also I saw a couple years back and was just floored. It's kind of hard to categorize. They have ballet technique and sometimes dance on point, but it's not really ballet. It's, you know, it's contemporary new choreography all done to popular music like the Beatles or Roy Orbison. So fantastic company that people should be sure to see in April.
A wonderful thing is that you're really bringing these magnificent performances to a lot of different areas here in South Florida. Bravo for that, because you wrap up the season at the Stage, which is another great bar.
Yeah,
bar
local,
performance
local
space.
Institution, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is, you know, we serve the entire county, so we like to spread it out as much as possible. At the Stage, it'll be our first time working there, and we're bringing this interesting guy from the Congo. He's between Belgium and the Congo. His name is Beloji, and he's kind of this new hot item in world music. He's an MC, and he mixes hip-hop with Congolese rumba. I don't know if you're familiar with that genre, but inspired by the Cuban rumba that a lot of people heard in West Africa in the 60s and 70s. So they created their own form of Congolese Roomba, which is fantastic.
Well, I will soon learn about that. And that's another wonderful thing about the MDC Live Arts Series. You're always turning us on to new and exciting art and music and expressions from all over the world, as it should be for a great college.
Yeah, it's about learning something new.
Royston, you wrap up your tour here in Miami tonight, once again at the Miami-Dade County Auditorium. The show starts at 8 o'clock. What's next?
At 7:30. Is it?
7:30? No, 7,
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
Okay.
What's next for you? Will you continue after a period of rest or something tour?
We have a show at the NH7 weekend in Bangalore on the 24th of this month. Mm-hmm. Which is the best music festival in the country and the biggest with 8 stages, and you know it's fantastic.
Where's that once again?
At Bangalore in India. Mm-hmm. We have an English summer with this with the Manganiya Seduction.
You go to England?
Yeah, I mean it's the third time. You know we've done the Barbican, we've done Vomad, where we performed to an audience of 70,000. Peter Gabriel's festival, and. And then, we are hoping to be there with Lyft this year, the London International Festival of Theatre.
Mm-hmm. Marvelous. Well, good luck on your efforts, and please come back to Miami. You've got to see this great town.
Yes,
I
know. Got to
get you down
to
the Keys.
To, yes.
And
I will
make
do
you
whatever
a South Floridian. Once again, more info at mdcliveArts.org. And we say thank you very much to Catherine Garcia, executive director of this magnificent performance series, and Mr. Royston Abell, director of tonight's show, Manganiyar Seduction. I'll learn how to say that
one of
these days. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, we'll hear about the Miami Short Film Festival, a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar. Right now, we welcome back our classical arts contributor, Charles Greenfield, with the details about a lucky 7th season for Orchestra Miami.
While South Florida may lack a dominant orchestral organization, there's no lack of smaller groups that have sprouted their seeds in the last decade. But it is no easy feat to gather fine musicians and raise funds in a region that is now teeming with competitive musical entities. Fortunately, smaller musical organizations have begun to fill the void. Founded in 2006, Orchestra Miami's mission statement is to offer reasonably priced and affordable classical concerts to the South Florida audience. Part of their task as well is to bring innovative programming and educational opportunities to younger and culturally diverse audiences. Since their inception, they've brought popular singers like Andrea Bocelli and tenor Juan Diego Flores, as well as soprano Eglise Gutierrez, who performed in a program dedicated to Mozart in January 2008 in a celebration of the bicentennial of Italy's largest musical publisher, Casa Ricordi. Orchestra Miami has performed at Dade County Auditorium with Met Opera stars Eduardo Villa and Abril Millot. Other concerts have included noted local Latin jazz flutist Nestor Torres and the North American premiere of David Chesky's Concerto for Guitar with the renowned guitarist Angel Romero. The founder and music director of Orchestra Miami is Elaine Rinaldi, who has won plaudits from local critics for her alert pacing and high-caliber craftsmanship. Recently, I spoke to Elaine Rinaldi about Orchestra Miami and its upcoming Viva Verdi concert November 10th, a bicentennial celebration of the great Italian opera composer a month after his 200th birthday and the 2013-2014 season. Elaine Rinaldi, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you.
What is the mission statement for Orchestra Miami?
Orchestra Miami exists to bring high-quality symphonic music to all people in South Florida, regardless of economic circumstance. We want to make concert-going convenient and affordable, and we want to provide performances that have innovative programming, educational excellence, and a real clear focus on celebrating Miami's heritage. We have very important core values, which are excellence, commitment to building community, and commitment to educating our children through music.
You're a conductor. You conducted opera in Key West for the Island Opera Theater. You've worked with the Florida Grand Opera from 97 to 2000. How do you differentiate between opera conducting and orchestral? You've also done Beethoven's Seventh, and you can see that on YouTube.
Yes, that's a great question. It's quite different, but it's not. The difference with opera is there's so much more. You have the stage elements you have to deal with. You have the text. You have the singers. You have the chorus. You have all these things that could go wrong at any possible moment. And that adds a lot of extra pressure in some ways, a lot of extra responsibility. And with the symphonic conducting, in some ways, you have a much greater sense of freedom because all you have to worry about is the music.
Well, let's talk about orchestral strengths and weaknesses. Most people, of course, stereotype strings and winds as being sort of the strong parts of the orchestra, and brass and percussion, where the squeaks and the groans come in. That's a stereotype.
I would definitely say it's a stereotype. We're very, very lucky in South Florida that we have great musicians here. I mean, really first class, excellently trained professional musicians. And I really don't think we have weaknesses in the orchestra.
October 27th, you started your seventh season. Your second program will be presented on November 10th at 7 p.m. in the Pinecrest Gardens Banyan Bowl. You're presenting Viva Verdi. It's a celebration of the composer's bicentennial. Song, sacred pieces, string quartet, arias, chorus. What draws you to this great Italian composer and his music?
Well, I owe Verdi everything because Verdi is how I started conducting. My very first professional experience was conducting La Traviata in Sharpsville, Pennsylvania. And I have come to conducting through the opera, as many conductors do. So I feel very close to this composer, and I'm actually known somewhat as a Verdi specialist in the Italian opera specialist.
The Delray String Quartet will be there?
Yes, I'm very pleased. Mei Luo, who's our concertmaster, is their first violinist. And Richard Fleischman, who's our principal violist, is their founder and violist. And Thomas Kotick and Claudio Jaffe, of course, also play with the orchestra. So we have a very close association with them.
And you will have a Verdi scholar, Karen Henson?
Yes, Karen Henson. We're very lucky to have her. She's a specialist in 19th century Italian opera, and she's the new associate professor in musicology at the University of Miami. And she's agreed to do the pre-concert lecture starting at 6:30.
Well, that should be very exciting for opera fans all over South Florida. Now, in January 2014, January 11th at 3 p.m., free family concert, I believe, at the Coral Gables Museum, Br'er Raccoon outsmarted the frog and the frog prince.
Yes, they're two not well-known fairy tales, but the Br'er Raccoon comes from the Uncle Remus stories. And the Frog Prince is a little better known, but the music is very interesting. It's written by Victoria Bond, who some South Florida music lovers must know from the Deering series. She appears every year on their Living Artist series. And Victoria's a wonderful composer, and she has these great pieces for kids with narrator. And every year we do a whole series of free family concerts where we want you to bring your kids, introduce them to classical music through storytelling.
And then The Mice War, an opera for kids. This will be ticketed. That's Sunday, February 9th, Pinecrest Gardens, with David Chesky's absurdist opera for kids, The Mice War.
Yes, it's a great piece. You know, David's music is really very particular. Once you hear it, you know absolutely it's David Chesky. It's very kinetic and fun and interesting. A lot of humor in the music. And he wrote the story. He wrote the text. And it is absurdist. It teaches kids about the absurdity of war. And it also teaches kids about cultural diversity. And we will be taking this this opera in collaboration with a young artist from Florida Grand Opera to 9 elementary schools. We chose the places where the kids don't have the advantages, who probably would not be exposed to the arts. We're going to send them lesson plans to prepare them, not just about the music and the experience of the opera, but also about the lessons of how to resolve conflict without violence and about cultural diversity.
Great idea. And those will be in those school auditoriums?
Yes, in their cafetoriums.
Leah Summers and Elaine Rinaldi in recital March 1st at the South Miami Lutheran Church. What's the program?
Yes, Leah is really, really wonderful in the German repertoire. She was a Fulbright scholar in Vienna and sang for many years in Vienna. She's well known to anybody who studied at the University of Miami with Loreen Buffington and Frank Summers because she is their daughter. And we're very happy to be bringing her back to Miami. She hasn't appeared here probably since she was in school. So it's been several years. So we will definitely be doing the complete Frauenleben und Leben, which is a real beautiful piece. And it's kind of known as a chestnut, but the whole cycle is really quite wonderful. And definitely some Mahler and other treats.
Now, Beethoven on the Beach, Clash of the Titans. This is a free outdoor concert. Saturday, March 8th, North Beach Bandshell. Sunday, March 16th, Pinecrest Gardens. Sunday, March 30th, Heritage Park, Sunny Isles Beach. Rossini, Beethoven, Mendelssohn.
Yes. Yes, this is my favorite project of all year. They're all my favorite projects. But this is really our core mission, is to bring really excellent quality symphonic music to everybody free. And we do it outdoors, take advantage of the wonderful weather. We hope it doesn't rain. And we are playing. The focal point this year, of course, is the very spectacular Mendelssohn Violin Concerto featuring our concertmaster, Mei Mei Luo, who's a spectacular violinist. And of course, since it's Beethoven on the Beach, we have to play Beethoven. So we'll be playing the Second Symphony in D major this year.
And finally, way out in June 8th of 2014, a wonderfully fascinating concert at the Miami Scottish Rite Temple on the Miami River. Wow, how did you get in?
It's been quite a project and a desire I've had for a long time to take music to places and bring people to those places where they otherwise might not want to go. And, you know, all of us, we drive on 985, we pass this phenomenal building every day, but how many of us have been inside? And they have a wonderful 700-seat auditorium, and we're going to present music that Mozart composed for his Masonic brothers or has Masonic symbolism in this Masonic temple.
I can't tell you how fascinating that will be in the Scottish Rite Masonic Lodge on the Miami River. Well, Elaine Rinaldi, this has been a little journey, and I appreciate that. Thank you for coming to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you for having me.
Elaine Rinaldi and Orchestra Miami are regional youngsters, only 7 years old in terms of South Florida's classical music scene. But for neophytes, they are already turning heads in terms of the solid quality of the programming. Rinaldi, with her background in opera conducting, is certainly an added boost to South Florida's still small but growing roster of musical professionals. For ticket information, call 305-274-2103. And visit their website at orchestramiami.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken presents A Word on Food, and our Broward Arts calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. Now, film critic Dan Hudak previews the 12th Miami Short Film Festival, screening in Coconut Grove and Miami Beach.
Allow me to set the scene of one of the Miami Short Film Festival's commercials. Two guys sitting in a theater, and one gentleman dares to rub his eyes for a few seconds. The rest, well, the rest is what makes short films so great.
What did I miss? He lost his leg in a bomb attack. He enrolled in a handicap program and traveled the world. He fell in love with a Thai prostitute that took all his money. He finally wrote his memoir, and now he's living on a refugee camp in Somalia.
The moral of the story, of course, is that a lot happens in a brief period of time in short films, meaning they offer plenty of bang for your buck. At this year's edition of the festival, which runs November 8th through the 15th, you could miss actor Dulé Hill in a comedy called Gator Farm, actor Thomas Howell having the interview of a lifetime in the Australian film The Interviewer, and Mila Dear to All, about a girl who survives sex trafficking and tries to lead a normal life. Another film of note stars the daughter of Bruce Willis and Demi Moore, Rumor Willis, as a loving single mom who will do anything to make ends meet and is surprised when a stranger makes her realize something about her young, crossword puzzle-loving son.
I don't talk about my personal life. I don't do threesomes because nobody should eat the cash that bad.
Does Jax have friends?
I can't fix him.
He doesn't need fixing.
Does he have to or doesn't he?
What? What's the word for it? How many letters does it have?
Six.
With screenings, parties, and more, the 12th edition of the Miami Short Film Festival will have a jam-packed week for film lovers of every genre to explore their favorite type of film in abbreviated form. We recently sat down with the men who make it all happen, Festival Director William Vela and Program Director Robert Colomb. William, Robert, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you.
William, 12 years strong. Congratulations. How does it feel?
Thank you very much. It's been an accomplishment. You know how hard it is to keep going year after year. But it's picking up. It's a festival. It's growing. And we passed the stage of being a teenager and we're becoming adult.
And IAPI, you invited me once again to be a judge. I wasn't able to judge. But nonetheless, I understand you had 600 submissions year, which you and Robert single-handedly watched every single film.
Exactly, and it was a kind of a short year. I mean, normally we get 800 submissions. Yeah,
and it's from all over the world, right?
From all over the world. This year, festival has been represented by 26 countries. So it's a lot of films to watch.
Take me through this process. You're watching 600 films from 26 countries, and you know that you're programming about 100 for the actual festival itself.
Right.
Is it purely based on quality, or are you ever saying, oh, we don't have anything from Istanbul, let's get something from Istanbul in here? How are you selecting this? Robert, go ahead.
Well, obviously we try to include as many diverse films as we can so that we can cater to our audience as best we can. But it originally supposed to be 80 films in the program, and we had to open it up to 100 because we had such good submissions this year. So we didn't really have to think about that kind of trade-off between quality and where in the world it's from, because so many diverse films were fantastic this year. So we had to even expand the program to include them. So,
and they're all 20 minutes or less. Interesting how I presume you might get a film that's 25 minutes, yeah. 30 minutes. You know, what do you do in that circumstance? You get something that's good, but it's a bit too long, William.
We can stretch a little bit, but not 25. And luckily, they come up front and say, you know what, I have a 26 minute and then I have to answer you. I'm sorry. If we forgive one, I mean, we have to do the same for everybody. So unfortunately, the movie's good. But no, I mean, we have to be fair because remember, we try to program 70 to 80 minutes into a block. And ideally is to play as many movie in that block, you know. So if we choose 125 minutes, so half of the program is gone.
Right. And to be clear, when you say block, what you've done is assembled a collection of short film into 90-minute blocks, essentially, that's going to screen at the Miami Beach Cinematheque and the Coconut Grove and the Paragon. I think it's really cool that you give a name to each of the blocks. And they're not running only once. Some of them are running more than once. My favorite last year was Experimental with
three X's, yeah,
and Happy Endings. This year, I saw that one of the programs is Stronger Sex.
Right.
Well done, Robert.
Thank
Welcome
you.
Aboard.
Thank you.
You belong. Talk a little bit about the programming.
Okay, so I'll talk about Stronger Sex in a second. But the programming is just like you said. We have to tie in all these 100 and some films into blocks, so we tie them in thematically, or, you know, if we think that they fit well together. And also we have some special programs like Stronger Sex and like Between the Lines, which is an LGBT-inspired theme this year, which is fantastic. The films are so strong in that category. And Stronger Sex is actually about films having to do with women this year and the empowerment of women. And women over the years have kind of had the rep of they call it the weaker sex, and I wanted to flip that on its head because we all know it's really not true. So Stronger Sex is about the empowerment of women, and it's a really good strong block too. We have some other ones that are really interesting, like Rome, which is a block that takes you kind of around the world in 90 minutes. It's really interesting.
Yeah, the spelling of Rome is R-O-A-M, not Rome as in the city, to be clear.
Right, right. And then we have also a spotlight on Miami's filmmakers, which is our local block, which is really kind of dear to our hearts at the Miami Short Film Festival.
Any highlights in particular on the spotlight of Miami that you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, well, we have Death Guard, which is a hysterical black comedy set in Miami Beach and produced through MDC. And we also have The Hunger Gamers, which is really cool. It's a really interesting mix of a death match and video games, which is it's really cool. And it was shot with all local cast and crew. Films like that, student films too, some we include.
I was also intrigued by Wandering Night with Night as K-N-I-G-H-T.
Right.
Interesting title there. Tell us about those.
So Wandering Night is basically a program that has to do with the inner night that everyone has. Like, so kind of the nights awaken in each of these characters, and so their lives are changed forever. It's kind of something inside of them that's telling them to do something and change their life. And so we have a lot of interesting characters in that program in the sense that it's not really the typical human experience.
More than 600 movies you watched, you whittled it down to a little more than 100. What's one short film people can't miss?
Oh, we both really like a film called Efímera, which is a really cool narrative film from Spain this year about a little girl who wants to be a ballerina and lives in a windmill. And when she goes outside of her house, everything is completely different. The city is very grungy. It feels like a Jean-Pierre Jeunet movie, but in short form, and it's really excellent film.
And what program is that part of?
That's screening in the Blood Red Youth program, which is another cool block about a bunch of really cool kids that kind of stand out and, you know, more so even than the adults in the film.
Sounds great. Any other highlights about the festival, guys?
Well, we have 15 screening, three different blocks per day, two at the Paragon Cinema in Cocoa Walk, one at Miami Beach Cinematheque, after screening parties almost every night at the different venues in Coconut Grove.
William, you've been at this for 12 years now, running a short film festival, so I must ask, with air quotes firmly in hand, is the Miami Short Film Festival too short?
Actually, no. I mean, for us that puts together the festival, it's not even, yeah, it's 8 dates completely from Friday, November 8th to Friday, November 15th, so 8 dates is good enough for us right now. So, yeah, 103 films. The festival started with 3 days, and now we extended to 8 days. So.
Great. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us, and best of luck.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
The Miami Short Film Festival runs November 8th through the 15th. Screenings will be held at the Paragon Grove 13 in Cocoa Walk in Coconut Grove and the Miami Beach Cinematheque in South Beach. For more information, go to miamishortfilmfestival.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak, is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at hudakonhollywood.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot, do, do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is pork butts. When the woman at the butcher counter asked Jimmy the Cutter, "Do you have a nice butt?" Jimmy didn't hesitate and said, "My wife kind of digs it." The lady pushed her walker aside to get a better look at the pork in Jimmy's case, pretending not to hear him. Her faded alligator purse fell open to reveal a half-empty carton of Lucky Strikes and a copy of Reader's Digest. He looked at me and rolled his eyes toward the crease of his paper deli hat. "That joke used to work," he sighed. He swung a stained cotton towel over his shoulder, reached into his case, pulled out three beautiful Nyman Ranch pork butts, and let me choose. From 30 years of cutting swine, his forearms were almost as large as the pork. The woman was busy squinting into the fogged-up edge of the meat case to smear some indigo lipstick on her small mouth. She smacked her lips together 3 times in hopes of some even application. She might have been disappointed if the mirror were any better. She smiled, satisfied, into her fuzzy reflection. I bought all 3 butts. Everyone was happy now. Pork is the most widely consumed meat in the world. The most beloved way in America just might be low and slow barbecue, and we here in the relative easy reach of the Caribbean have some history with the beasts. The Carib Indians on the island of Hispaniola taught the Spanish how to use the green wood lattices to make barbacoa, or what we now know as barbecue. A staple of the islanders' diet was the wild hog. The locals called the animals bucan, and the word eventually came to be applied to many of the wild seafaring island men, buccaneers. Barbecue has become one of the most favored foods in the world. North Americans have been grilling and smoking pork as if it were an article within our Constitution. Few culinary subjects stir such rabid debate from Texas to Memphis to South Carolina and back down to the Caribbean and South America. Some hold forth the theory that barbecue may have originated in China many centuries ago. It's said that a devastating fire burned down a barn, and the pig farmers, who had previously never cooked meat in a fiery fashion, solaced their loss by eating well that night. In the U.S. of A., we have 4 dominant kinds of barbecue. They are distinct in style, and the 4 are, in no particular order, Kansas City, Carolina, Texas, and Memphis. It would take too long to get into the details on this show. One day, I intend to write a whole cookbook on the topic. But basically, Kansas City-style barbecue is characterized by thick, tomato-based sauces containing sugar. My family on my wife's side is from KC mostly, and this is the kind we serve most often. Memphis-style tends to be more spicy than Kansas City-style. Texas barbecue focuses on beef, and the sauces tend to be thin and strong, with chilies riding up via Mexico. Carolina barbecue is a sauce-centric one. That sauce is, in general, thin and watery, tangy and peppery. Perhaps the most common confusion in regards to grilling and barbecue is which? For my money, barbecue is what is done with a heat that is low and slow, and that grilling is done fast and fairly furious. I like them both. I got home from Jimmy's and rubbed that butt lavishly with a favored spice rub. And you know what? My wife? Yeah, she kind of digs it. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Teriyaki. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we say hello to Jody Horn-Leschinski, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Great to have you back with us, Jody.
Well, it's great to be with you, Ed. We have so much going on this week.
I know there's some exciting things happening in Broward County. Let's hear it.
Well, the 28th annual Broward County Arts Teacher of the Year celebration took place this past Wednesday at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts in Fort Lauderdale. And the finalists were selected from Broward County's public, private and charter schools for this honor in arts excellence. This is the first year that there is one winner in each of the 4 categories, dance, theater, music, and visual arts. And the winners are Carrie Porter, visual arts, at Wingate Oaks Center, Jason Zembuck, theater, at South Plantation High School, John Nista, music, at Ramblewood Middle School, and Taranika Washington in dance at the University School at Nova Southeastern University. And this year, a new category was added, and the winner for the Teaching Artist Recognition Award is Dr. Timothy Leisner. Thanks to the support of title sponsor FPNL, these fine arts educators were honored with performances and exhibitions by the best of the best students in Broward County. Broward Cultural Division and Business for the Arts of Broward asks you this question. Have you nominated your arts teacher? Applications for next year's program will be available at broward.org in early 2014.
Congratulations to all of those winners.
Absolutely. Congratulations to the finalists. There were 12 finalists, so congratulations to all of them. Broward Cultural Division's Fine Arts magazine, Cultural Quarterly, provides in-depth articles on the local arts and culture scene, revealing profiles of exceptional artists and links to detailed listings of events and attractions. The fall issue is now available, and you can subscribe on our website at broward.org. In this issue, you will enjoy exploring nature through clay artist Janice Kalenda, and then learn about Miami City Ballet's new artistic director, Lourdes Lopez, as she prepares for her debut season. And in Unleashed Expression, read about how public art has become larger than life, a testament to the power of civilization's progress. There is so much more. Don't forget to subscribe. So, coming up this weekend, there's so much to do. Through May of 2014, the Museum of Art Fort Lauderdale's upcoming exhibition, Spirit of Cobra, showcases the origins of the movement. Cobra, which stands for Copenhagen, Brussels, and Amsterdam, united poets, painters, sculptors, photographers, and anthropologists from Copenhagen, Brussels, Amsterdam, and other locations after World War II. The Girls Club Gallery has engaged Miami artist team, the TM Sisters, Monica and Natasha Lopez de Victoria, to collaborate with a collection of contemporary art by women amassed by Fort Lauderdale collectors Francie Bishop Good and David Horvitz, and curated the 2013-2014 exhibition, I Think It's in My Head. This opens this Sunday at its special Twilight event. The Curtain Call Playhouse presents Dorothy's Adventures in Oz on Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Township Theater of the Performing Arts. Young at Art Museum presents Counting Backwards, an exhibition featuring four of South Florida's most pioneering contemporary artists. Counting Backwards opens on Saturday from 7 to 11 p.m. and runs through December and features surprise occurrences that celebrate the beginning and the end through the exhibition and beyond the walls of the museum. Samantha Salzinger, Margie Nothard, Andrew Negron, and Jillian Mayer offer bold visions of post-humanity with interactive environments, sculptural installations, and towering images that transform the modern interiors of the museum into an enveloping funhouse experience. Also, at Young at Art Museum on Sunday at 11 a.m., enjoy Traditions, a Native American cultural celebration featuring the children's book author Gerald Hausman's Storytime, and illustrator Ramon Shiloh's art workshop with animal mask making, sand painting, and more. This weekend and next, Camelot Days Medieval Festival takes place at TY Park. Camelot Days allows you to relive the magic of the past by exploring the kingdom full of musicians, artisans, eateries, knights, and jesters. Cheer for your favorite side at the living chess game and joust. Feast like a king on hearty food and drink. Shop for fine handcrafted treasures in the artist's market. Enjoy challenging games and exciting rides for all ages. Now showing at the Museum of Discovery and Science AutoNation IMAX Theater, the Rocky Mountain Express propels audiences on a steam train journey through the breathtaking vistas of the Canadian Rockies and relates the epic adventure of building the nation's first transcontinental railway. Tonight, the Broward Center for the Performing Arts presents Warren Miller's Entertainment's Ticket to Ride. The newest installment of Warren Miller's legendary film series takes ski and snowboard fans on an action-packed ride to the world's most exotic destinations. Come early to enjoy the pre-show activities at 7:30 and meet Keeley Kelleher, former U.S. ski team member and big mountain skier featured in the film. The Ars Floris Symphony Orchestra opens its 14th season with a patriotic tribute to celebrate our armed forces tonight at 7:30 at the Miniachi Performing Arts Center on the Nova Southeastern University campus in Davie. The Miramar Cultural Center presents the complete Bollywood experience. This stunning Bollywood musical extravaganza dazzles with incredible acts by star Indian dancers, acrobats featuring modern-day hip-hop to authentic Indian folk dance tonight at 8 p.m. With millions of followers on YouTube and Facebook, internet sensation The Piano Guys perform their imaginative mashups and covers of classical and pop music at the Parker Playhouse tonight at 8 p.m. If you would like more detailed cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, Broward County's guide to arts and culture. Never miss a thing. Get there.
And that's Ms. Jody Horn-Lashinsky, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Jody, thank you for all of that information.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a wonderful weekend. And don't forget, get your arts license plate. Bye-bye.
Let me also add, MiamiArtsZine.com will celebrate their 8th anniversary party this Monday, November 11th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the Liquor Lounge, 1560 Collins Avenue on Miami Beach. Buffet, wine and soft drinks, entertainment by Cachi Vales and his salsa jazz ensemble, a silent art auction, award presentations. Their featured artists for the party will be Paula Richards of South Beach, and they ask for a contribution at the door. For more info, go to MiamiArtsZine.com. And Miami Beach celebrates their Veterans Day with a parade Monday at 9 a.m. along Washington Avenue, 17th to 11th Streets, and then at 10 a.m. to noon, a ceremony and picnic in Flamingo Park Baseball Stadium. Go to MiamiBeachFL.gov for info on that. Happy 101 anniversary, happy 101st anniversary to Tobacco Road. Congratulations. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. Tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's South Florida Arts Beat. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Dan Hudak, Norman Van Aken, and Jody Horn-Lashinsky. Thanks to one and all. Call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us at 305-995-2221 or email us at info@wlrn.org. Have yourself a great weekend and a great holiday. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.